So, my name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 9th of October, 2009, and the time's 5:10 in the morning. Can you tell me your name, age, and where you come from?
My name is Mark de Telgte. I'm 45 years old. I was born in Holland, but live in London. I've been living here for 11 years.
Cool. How was it you found out about the One Another Project?
I think, if I remember correctly, I think I saw a little piece in the Evening Standard, and that caught my interest, and I thought, yeah, that's a nice idea. You know, normally it's dead people on who are statues, basically, and it's nice to be alive and up there. And I like London quite a lot. At one point I was trying to set up, it didn't work, some Dutch talking tours for Dutch people. So I've got an interest in history anyway. So I know a little bit about this particular area. I like the buildings and stuff, you know. So I thought it would be nice to be just standing up there and just see the whole square from a different perspective, really.
So yeah, so what are you going to be doing for the duration of the hour?
Well, I've decided to go to support my team for the next World Cup. My original plan was to come as a Father Time, the guy with the big... But I thought maybe it's a bit spooky, you know, let's keep it light. So to support my team, well, you know, support my team is a big thing. But yeah, for me, it's just also, it's nice to be standing up there, see the whole square, like I said. And it's just nice to do something completely different, you know, it makes this Friday a different Friday than a normal Friday would be. And it'll be interesting to, like I said, normally it's dead people on that are statues, and now I was reading an interesting thing about it's a technique that people can use to, if they want to set goals for their life and all that kind of stuff, where you write, it's a bit spooky, where you write your own obituary, and then you think, okay, what would people say about me, you know, what did you achieve, and you know, would you be happy with it actually? So it will be a nice time, just spend a few minutes to reflect of what you've done in life and what you're going to do. You know, suppose you were dead. Suppose you would be the statue, you set in stone there. So I'm going to do a few exercises for myself to keep myself occupied and to keep myself warm, hopefully. I'm not very, you know, I did a little bit of Tai Chi and Qigong, but I'm not very, you know, I'm not a master in it, so it'll be very wooden, but that's something I'm into. So I can do a little bit of that to keep myself going up there. And it's just nice to have a bit of a different morning than a normal Friday.
Who would you say you're doing it for?
Oh, I do it for myself. Yeah. I haven't got a message for the world. Well, maybe I have one, but you know, I've got no... A lot of people have things to say, which is good. But I don't have that particular message for the world that I need to shout out from my statue. For my plans or anything like that, so I can do it for myself.
And you mentioned that you love London. What stuff is it? What is it you particularly like about London? How does it make you feel?
Well, London is a great place for opportunity. You can always find a job. You can, if you want to. I haven't done that, but my wife recently, you know, just quit a job, and then you know, you can take a few months of break, and then you will know there will be another job lined up somewhere. For you, I guess, depending on the field you're working in, obviously. It's a bit of a struggle for a lot of people, but yeah. It's big, it's very diverse, and there's a lot of history around. And anything you want to do, it will be there. You know, if you want to do a certain sport, you know, I did a little bit of Wing Chun, I've stopped that. But that's a sport you can find in London. If you're living out in the sticks, you want to do something like that, you can't find it. So I've now decided to do probably something like White Crane. Well, actually, 5 minutes from my house, I can do that. So that's pretty exciting. You've got all the museums and stuff. I used to go out a lot, I guess, as well, 10 years ago, you know, I'm getting older. But, you know, but it's all the opportunities that London gives you, the free museums. It's just a great place. I like walking here, you know, just walk for 2 hours and just see the people and see the buildings.
And how about history? You mentioned history then. So what is it about history that's particularly interesting to you?
Well, I like the stories. In a previous life in Holland, I was a history teacher. And obviously history is about a lot of things, you know, it's about interpretation of things, and it's about, you know, normally the winners write a history, obviously, so you can approach history at a lot of different levels, but I also like just the stories or the funny things, and if you know, that little horse statue with Charles on it, well, he was executed quite close to here in Banqueting House, which has a massive ceiling, which is basically propaganda for the king, you know, and that's all very close to here. The people who, well, the few remaining people who are still alive who actually were involved in the signatures to give the order to execute the king, they themselves were executed on that particular spot where the statue is. So you're walking around here, and then obviously there's so many layers of human experience condensed in the city. And you know, you've got Roman stuff in London as well, so there's all this condensed, like, experience, and if you have an eye for it, you can just walk into a place and see it's there, which is quite amazing.
What else are you interested in doing in your spare time?
Well, yeah, lots of them. I read quite a lot. I used to be in the choir, which I chickened out because it became too difficult. They were doing it, you know. I don't read any notes, so I was I could keep up with all the classical stuff, but then they were doing a very modern piece by John Adams, very beautiful. But I couldn't figure that one out. But yeah, so I do my spot. I read a lot at the moment. I'm getting interested in a lot of like NLP kind of stuff, which I've done a course recently. I'm going to do a hypnotherapy weekend pretty soon as well. I work in the homeless sector. I've just done 4 days work-wise as a participant in a group where they were actually using a lot of NLP kind of things and Yuna therapy that comes from Hawaii, and a lot of spiritual stuff. And it was quite nice actually, because you didn't, we had a big group there from different organizations, and I was there with 4 residents with different backgrounds. There was a Muslim guy, and although there was a lot of talk about spirituality, it wasn't done in a way that nobody was going to be offended or everybody could give it their own space. So I'm quite interested in that kind of stuff as well. I'm not one of those people who are religious about NLP or anything like that, but I think it's just a useful tool. I don't know if you know anything about NLP.
For the record, could you explain it a little bit?
Well, neuro-linguistic programming, basically, there are some techniques that can help you to get a different view on life. Basically, the idea is that, you know, every experience that you have is processed through your mind, you know, and all the filters that you have inside you, which could be, you know, your previous experience, generalizations, deletions that you make, your value system, and you create your own experience and you create your own memories. And those memories can get in the way as well, because they can be quite bad. But it's the way you represent themselves, those memories, to you. And if you change those to a certain degree, if you would be able to change those memories or the feelings around them, then they might have a different impact on you. So you will then be able, for example, to maintain your state, meaning that if you have an anger issue, for example, instead of getting up in the morning every time without realizing that you're angry and then responding in a very angry way to the world, you can go into yourself and say, okay, maybe I can change that a little bit, and something like that.
Okay, and you can explain or expand a little bit on your job working in the homeless sector. How did you first find your way into that area?
Basically, I was a teacher in Holland, and I was living with my partner, and we felt, yeah, let's do something else. My partner, he's got 2 sisters, they're still living in London as well, they're all Dutch, and they were working in the sector already, so we knew a little bit about it. We came around Christmas time, every time we came to England, to London. It looked like an interesting field to working, and basically at the time there was an option with an organization that's now been merging with Thames Reach, Bondway it was called at the time. and you could start there as a volunteer, which was quite good because they gave you like 60 quid a week and a place to live, which you shared with other people. And then you, as a volunteer, obviously you could improve on your English, and it was your first step into the homeless sector, so to speak. So you get some real experience how it is to work there. And I've done that for, I think, 6 or 7 months. And then I got myself a paid job with Sid Mungo's, a different organization. And from there on, I've been a deputy manager and a manager. I'm now a team leader involved in a project around assisting people to go back to work or training if they want to. So it's well, Sid Mungo's is a very great organization because it's big and it's got lots of opportunities for employees, because you can do all different kind of things, and it's a nice. It's good work, because it's the kind of job that you can make a difference. You know, it's not always going to work, but the problems that people are dealing with are often quite massive. So it's not an easy fix. People don't go in, you know, a lot of people think, hostel, get the people in. A year and a half later, they walk out reformed. But if you have to deal with a massive crack heroin issue or maybe some mental health issues, it's not going to work like that. Some people will make a quite quick transformation. Some people, it takes years, and some people never change. We can't make people change, but we can, you know, offer the assistance and support to help them if they want to make a change. And at least the very bottom line is that they don't, if they don't want to live on the street, which is not a nice place to be. I'm not going to say that a hostel is an easy place to live, not at all. But in that sense, it's nice to have a job. It can be challenging as well. It can be draining. But for me, you know, everybody's different. But I like to have a job in some kind of work like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And how does it make you feel then to be able to know that you're making some kind of contribution to that sector and to those people who have those issues?
Well, obviously, if it's always very nice. Yesterday we had this group, and you know, all the three participants I took there, four actually, they had a great experience. So that makes you feel great about yourself. If you, you're just a facilitator, it's your job. Nobody has to say thank you. But you know, if people get something out of it, and or you can. I had a guy a couple of years ago. He was really a problem when he was living in this supporting housing project, creating a few issues. But in the end, he went to a detox, and he phoned me up, I think 7 months later, and said on the phone, "Well, Mark, you know, sorry for all the troubles that I've caused in the past, but actually now I'm still off the heroin. I'm doing great. I want to thank you for that." You know, that's great. Basically, that's great. Sometimes you go home quite like, wow. It was a heavy day. You know, people can be quite full on. People can. Be sometimes can have anger issues and offload that stuff on you. So it's a mixed bag. As it is in most jobs, I guess. You don't always go home like, yes, it was a great day. Sometimes you go home like, wow, I need to sit down and think about this. But like I said, you know, I'd rather do work like this than making cars or something like that. Not that I have something against cars, I've got a car myself, but you know what I mean, I guess.
Well, what would you say are the most important things to you then at the moment in your life?
Oh, the most important things in my life? It's my partner, my work, something important to do, trying to find something new as well. You know, I've been a teacher in the past, now I work in the homeless sector, but maybe with the NLP, I could at least part-time do something, setting up my own little business to help people in that way, and to have a good time with the people around me.
And what hopes, plans, fears do you have for the future?
Well, I hope to continue in the work I'm doing. I hope to have my own little business as well, because that will be a nice balance of doing two completely separate different things, and I hope as well that I can, with the other business, I can create a bit more time to be more flexible. And with that, I mean, I'm not as scared to be working. I would quite love to have a situation that 1 week I would work 70 hours a week, but then the reward would be that maybe then 2 weeks later I would only work 14 hours. You know, so at the moment I'm quite constrained at the moment in the job I'm doing. It's more or less like a 10 to 6 or 9 to 5 kind of job, Monday to Friday. So that's fine. But yeah, you know, let's try to improve that and make it more suitable to what I would like to do. So I can go back to Holland more often, or say I'm jump on a plane and go to Germany for 5 days or whatever I would like to do. And to keep educating myself, I'm not religious myself, but this guy talked a lot about spirituality. You know, you don't have to believe in that, but I find it interesting. So there's always new things to learn, and that's one of the nice things about life. Obviously, there's new things to learn. History never stops. There's always more to learn. There's always different viewpoints about why something happened. You know, if you know the whole thing about the war in Iraq, you know, in 200 years' time, people might say, well, that was the right thing to do. You know, but that's what history is. Perspectives and interpretations of history, you know, they change over time. So yeah, that's interesting stuff.
So how does it feel to be part of the One Another project? To be one of 2,400 people that get to take part in the experience?
Well, I haven't thought about that much, actually. Actually, yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know how many people applied. So, you know, actually, I was talking to a guy in the hostel, a colleague, and he said, oh, yeah, one of their colleagues, they applied and they were quite disappointed not getting through. So, yeah, in a sense, it's something special. It's a quite intriguing idea to... when I was working in a hostel, for example, I always thought, oh, God, this is almost like a living organism, right? Because there's 24 hours a day, there are people there. And even if you're on holiday, there's always staff making sure that the place is safe and that people get support. So, you know, for years on, it's just, and this is the same idea, for like 3 months, there is just living people on that thing, which is a quite intriguing idea in itself. So yeah, that's quite nice to be part of that one, to be a little, to play my little role in that one, to keep the thing alive.
And how are you feeling 30 minutes before you go up?
Oh, relaxed. Yeah.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to say for the archive, being part of the project, or being here in Trafalgar Square in 2009?
Well, I'm going to... thank you for the opportunity. I think, you know, on a basic level, I'm just going to enjoy just a different viewpoint from this beautiful square. That's, you know, one of the things that I quite see the city... Well, I'm quite amazed on how many people are already on the streets on 4 o'clock anyway. But yeah, to see the, you know, life around me from a place, to think about a few things. You know, I think this is just a bit of fun, but I will have a few internal thoughts as well. So it's nice to have that opportunity to make this Friday a bit more special than a normal Friday when I would have just gone to work.
Perfect, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.